We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens.
There is no positive reason to think that God does exist.
I don't know what happens when you die, and I don't care.
There are millions of ways to what you call God.
God doesn't exist.
Our
God
nation is in great need. We need to fundamentally transform education.
Change starts with you.
It's time to renew America.
Hey there, my name's Ezra Beyer. Welcome to Renewination Radio, the show that's committed to the Renewination vision of offering every child a Christian worldview education. Each week, we bring on Christian leaders of influence who are passionate about Christian worldview values, and our guest today is someone who fits that criteria like a glove. His name is Mike Young, and he's the founder and executive director of Noble Warriors. This is a ministry that serves churches by helping them to engage and equip and encourage their men to walk with Christ and lead their families. In 2005, God made it clear to Mike and his family that their collective life experiences had simply been preparation for a call to ministry, and specifically, they felt it was a call to men's ministry. Noble Warriors is the result of that call. Originally from Suffolk, Virginia, Mike is a graduate of the College of William and Mary and George Mason University. Prior to beginning this ministry, he worked as a high school science teacher, administrator, and then as a custom home builder. Mike and his wife Stacy, along with their children Tim, Zach, Ben, and Hannah, live in Chesterfield, Virginia, and are active members of Parkway Baptist Church. And Mike, great to have you on Renewination Radio today. Welcome.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for this great opportunity.
Mike, we're just going to go ahead and dive right into this and tell us what led you to start Noble Warriors.
Well, you know, I'll give you an abbreviated version, if you will. I had been a high school science teacher and administrator. I left that environment because as a young dad, I knew that I needed to be more flexible with time available for my kids, and so my father-in-law was a custom home builder and was looking for someone to run field operations for his company, and so I agreed to join that company. So I left education, went into construction. Sounds like a crazy transition, but that's just part of God's plan. Mm. But then along the way in construction, I realized, you know, this is not what God made me for. Mm. So Stacy and I began to pray, God, what do you want us to do? What's next for us? We're willing to sell everything. We're willing to make a big transition. Just tell us what you want us to do. And so over the course of some months and prayer and seeking what God wanted, I ended up at a National Coalition of Men's Ministries conference up in D.C. and just felt like that's where God wanted me, was investing my life, my time, my experiences in ministering to men, helping men understand what it means to walk with Christ and lead their families. So it's been kind of a twisty and turny path, but it's God's plan. So that's why we're here.
Well, let me just follow up with that real quick. And what was it that changed your mind that led you to start Noble Warriors? Because I think we'd probably have a number of men listening today, and they might be getting that nudge that they're doing something right now that they feel maybe isn't exactly what God's wanting them to do. And how do you know when it's time to change and transition to something else?
You know, I felt for a good period of time that this is, you know, I needed to be doing something different, that I wasn't in a sweet spot, so to speak.
Right.
And I came home one day and my wife said, you know what, you're miserable. It's making me miserable. It's making us miserable. I'm willing to do whatever it's going to take to get you in a better place so that our family will be healthier. And so I tell everyone that in our case, my wife was the miracle. Because, you know, women are concerned about security and what's next and you know, finances and everything. And so my wife really had to lay some of that aside and say, you know, I want you to be happy because that's going to make our family healthy and happy. And my wife's a stay-at-home mom, so there was quite a bit of risk for us as a single-earner family for us to transition into ministry that was really unusual, and we didn't know what the next steps were going to look like. So, you know, the key to it is, are you walking in tandem? Is God speaking to both of you and taking both of you to the same place and opening opening your hearts to a transition and preparing you for that? I think that's a key. It was for us.
Wow. Talk to us about Noble Warriors and what are you doing right now? What's really your target area with this ministry?
You know, it's our belief, Noble Warriors is a parachurch ministry or a servant church. Our goal is to come alongside the local church. I believe that the church is God's instrument for discipling men. The church needs to carry the weight of growing men for leadership in the home and the church. But the truth is, the church for the last 100 years has really struggled with that. And I don't want to say that they failed, but there are churches that are just struggling to raise up godly men and equip them for leadership. So what our goal is to speak into the leadership of the local church, to connect with pastors and men's ministry leaders, and that's where we get those three words, engage, equip, and encourage. We want to help the church understand that your men may look well on Sunday morning, but there's really a lot of trouble in a lot of men's lives. So we want to get the church's attention. Then we want to equip the church. We want to give them the best resources, the best information, the best opportunity, the best speakers, the best tools that we can find to help them develop their men. And then we want to cheer for them. And that may sound crazy, but you know, there are lots of churches that as they try things, they just need to be cheered for. Hey, you're investing in men, and you didn't get 100 men to come to this, but you're touching 10 men's lives, and that's having an impact. Don't forget how important it is to see even a small number of guys transformed by walking closer to Christ and leading their families. So that's what we're all about. It's about ministering to the local church, to men through the local church.
I forget the exact statistics, but we had H.B. London at our church about a year and a half ago, and he talked about how much of a bigger chance the family had if the man gave his heart to Christ as opposed to the kids or the wife, that when the man steps up to the plate, then the family has a much better shot at following Christ as well. And I found that really interesting. What are some specific ways that you see men coming under attack in our culture today?
You know, I think obviously the number one thing is internet pornography. I mean, you can't escape that, and so that's one of the key things that it looks like a victimless habit that a guy could have in terms of engaging that environment, but it's dangerous. Killing marriages, it's killing families, it's killing men. I think a close second to the internet pornography challenge is anger, and that is that there are lots of angry men out there, and some of those guys don't even know what they're angry about. But the interesting thing about anger is it is the one emotional outpouring that a guy can have and still feel masculine. That may be a little crazy, but there are guys who feel frustrated and dejected, they're discouraged, they're defeated at work, in marriage, in life, and the one thing that they can do and still feel masculine is get angry about it. That's not healthy. But it's where a lot of men find themselves because they don't know how to express emotion differently, nor do they have appropriate outlets to process some of their challenges in life. And so we find that anger is a major issue with a lot of guys. So those are some things that I see going on. And Satan, boy, he is happy if he can keep a guy in a position where he cleans up and he drives the family van to church on Sunday morning and the whole crew looks good for 2 hours while they're there, but then there is just undercurrents and tension and frustration as they get back in that van and head home. And I think that's one of the places where the church has kind of missed it with guys, because we're going to see men at their best in that environment, those who choose to come. And so we think they're okay, but really when we start digging into guys' lives, we find that they're looking for some help, many of them.
I couldn't agree with you more there, because I knew a family growing up would ride to church with them on Sundays, and the whole way the dad would kind of berate the mom, and then he'd get into church, and actually he was the pastor. And he, he was able to live a completely different lifestyle going to church, but when he got to church, he put on a different face. And
that's exactly what we see happening.
Men's ministry, it's so huge. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Renewination Radio. We're here with Mike Young, and we're talking about a man's worldview and the importance of reaching out to men in our culture today and giving them a Christian worldview. Mike, as we talk about this, what are some things that your organization does and that you do to get a real pulse for how men in a church are doing spiritually?
There is no substitute for bumping up against guys in life. And that's why, you know, in the last segment we talked about how a guy can get cleaned up for a couple hours on Sunday morning and make an appearance. But really, the way that you get to know a guy is you spend more time with him. And, you know, that the Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And, you know, it is amazing to me that we have lots of church leaders who really have not spent any one-on-one time with any of their guys. And so we need to, I think, see pastors who are engaging men and just finding out who they are, what's making them tick, how life is really going for them. Because when you can get a guy in a one-on-one environment and begin to dig down below the armor and really hear what's going on in the guy's life, you begin to see, hey, you know, it's not that he is a complete wreck necessarily, or that he doesn't want to do well, but there are guys who are just struggling with a lot of things that I believe God's church and his word has great answers for. But we've got to help guys get to those right answers. So that's a big deal, is personal time with the guys.
What are some things that maybe you do to reach out to guys one-on-one? Do you have to find exactly what they like, or how do you do that?
You know, for me, and I'll tell you a quick story, I've got a couple of guys that I've been getting together with for a couple of years now, probably 4 or 5 years, on Friday mornings. And so we get together, we drink a cup of coffee together, we have a bagel together, and just process life. I mean, we learn from each other, we grow together. And so that's an ongoing relationship with some other guys. And I've got that in an ongoing fashion where I'm, you know, these guys are raising kids as well, and they've got challenging jobs, and they've got marriages. So I learn a lot about what these guys are dealing with in that ongoing meeting, mm-hmm. which I think is quite healthy. Mm-hmm. But I also look for opportunities to meet with other men. You know, just to, in a one-time meeting, boy, you can dig down. If you are willing to engage someone and get away from the ends, as I call it, mm-hmm. Men by nature tend to talk about NFL, NASCAR, NCAA, NRA, I don't know, but
hey,
we just
NHL,
call them the end.
NHL, because I'm a hockey guy.
NHL, NBA, yeah. So what we've got to do is learn how, as men, to stay away from those things and get into the real nitty-gritty of life and be willing to ask a guy, hey, when was the last time you took your wife out on a date? What was the last one-on-one time you had with your kid? Have you taken your daughter out on a date? And, you know, ask them some of those questions that may catch them a little off guard, but you begin to get into a man's life that way. And that's how we're going to get a pulse on how guys are doing.
Yeah, you put that, I think, better than I've heard anyone do in a long time, because I was just thinking of myself the other day. I was out reffing a hockey game. And, well, you know, in that environment, and the natural tendency is to talk about, hey, you know, how the game's going and all of that. But you have to make a conscious choice to switch the conversation to something else. And
right.
that's huge. Let's talk about worldview for a second.
Sure.
Why is it so essential that a man have a solid and biblical worldview?
Well, I got to tell you, Satan has a worldview that he wants every man, every marriage, every family, every church even to adopt. And that is going to lead men away from the truth of God's word. And so, you know, I think the bottom line is you have to recognize that there's an enemy that has a plan for you. And again, by nature, we're going to drift toward that because it's going to feel easier. But if we're going to really win in life, if we're going to please God, if we're going to honor God with our lives and our investments, then we've got to know what He wants from us. And the only way we're going to find that is by investing time in His Word. If we're going to lead our families in that way, we've got to be in the Word. And really, that's the only way that we are going to achieve what is honoring to God, is to be obedient to His Word. And so, you know, I think it's critical for guys to be thinking, okay, what does the Bible say about what I should do in this particular circumstance? And, you know, so that biblical worldview, the answers to the questions that we're all going to face as men, as husbands, as fathers, the answers to those questions can be found in God's Word. But if you never go there, you're never going to even know that the answers are there or what they are.
Our guest is Mike Young from NobleWarriors.org. And we're talking about the topic of a man's worldview, and we'll be right back on Renewination Radio. Our guest is Mike Young, and we're talking about the topic, a man's worldview. And Mike, what part does a man play in developing their children's education?
I think they play the critical role. Quite honestly, I think a dad needs to have his finger on the pulse of what his children are being exposed to in their educational environment. And I'll be honest with you, I deal with this pretty routinely because we've got four kids. They are all in public school. And you know, we've got friends who have children in private school, private parochial school. We've got friends who have children in Christian schools. We've got friends who have children that they homeschool. And one of my common comments to folks is, you know, the real critical thing about what your child's going to get out of education is, what are you, mom and dad, investing in that? Mm. How well do you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on, and how are you engaging that educational experience? And so mom and dad are critical, but even more critical, the critical one in that team, I believe, is dad. So dad can't leave those things to mom. Dad needs to be engaged. I even see lots of homeschool families where mom carries the whole load and dad's not engaged. And so I think in all of those cases, a dad needs to have conversations with his kids about what they're learning, what's going on the playground, in the locker room, on the sports field, in the, you know, in every aspect. What are you exposed to? What are you learning? How are you applying that to your life? You know, I've learned from my own kids that if I say, how was school today, they're going to say, fine. Mm-hmm. So I've got to ask specific questions, and I've got to engage them intentionally and strategically along the way.
What do you do if you're in a classroom environment, your kids are in a classroom environment, and they start, you know, they're asked to do assignments that would maybe go against what they and you would believe? How do you deal with teachers in a public school environment, and how do you train your kids to live a lifestyle that is probably a lot different than a lot of kids in a public school arena?
Yeah, we've had some obviously some dealings with that, and you know, one of the things is to make sure that we're investing in them at home and we're reinforcing our family values for our kids at home. We can't assume that they are picking this up by osmosis. We need to be intentional about what they're learning at home. And I'll give you a specific example. I think about when my oldest son came home one day in elementary school and they were talking about evolution. You know, it's his first exposure in the classroom. He comes home and starts asking questions like, well, Dad, that's not what we believe, and I know that's not what we've talked about. That's not what our church believes. That's not what we've talked about here at home. So what I did with him, pretty quickly, we sat down and talked about that. We reviewed the Genesis thing and what we believe. But then I wanted him to know, Tim, you know, we're not alone in this. You're not the only guy. It may feel like you're alone sometimes, but you're not the only guy who believes that there is a God who created everything that we see. As a matter of fact, I want you to understand that there are incredibly intelligent scientists who believe this. So I started Googling and pulling up lists of university professors and biologists and scientists and others who believe in creation versus evolution. Because I wanted to point out to him, hey, you're not alone in this battle. Now, you may be in situations where your teacher may want you to feel like you're isolated or alone, but I don't want you to ever believe you're alone in that. And I don't want you to believe that you're stupid because you believe this. I want you to be confident in your faith. And so, you know, we've had to teach our kids to respectfully hold their ground in those debates and those arguments and those challenges. Now, I don't want them to be disruptive or anything like that, but I also want our children to be willing to represent their beliefs at their level in that environment. And every kid is different in that regard, for sure. So, but that's part of what we've done.
Just kind of closing out here, we're wrapping this to a close, and speak briefly about the importance of organizations such as Renewination and then also Noble Warriors. What advantages can you specifically offer to churches and to pastors and men's leaders who are listening in today?
You know, I think the challenge of raising children in our culture is hard today. I tell everyone that if you want to be a traditional biblical family in today's culture, you just get into the game understanding that you're swimming upstream the whole time. And so our culture is constantly trying to push us in a direction that would not be honoring to God. And so I think the church has to stand there beside those families and has to encourage them and has to give them tools and information and resources so that they're ready and they're able to do battle against that cultural drift. And so I think Noble Warriors stands with the church in helping us build up men and encourage them to walk with Christ and lead their families, gives guys the tools they need to be the spiritual leader of the household. And organizations like Renew a Nation give us information that we haven't always got time to look up ourselves. We need to be thoughtful about how am I going to present to my child a Christian biblical worldview. And so organizations like Renew a Nation stand there with answers and ideas and strategies and information that equip us for that battle so that we can go into those conversations with our children, with our with their teachers, with our community, so that we're ready to say, hey, this is the direction that we have chosen for our family. Here's why, and here's where we're getting this information. So, you know, God bless organizations like Renew a Nation that help us in these tasks, help us to keep focused rightly, and give us fuel for the battles.
About 30 seconds here. So what gets you out of bed in the morning to do what it is that you do, and give us your website as well?
Yeah, our website is noblewarriors.org. And the thing that fires me up is that I want to see godly men stepping up to be warriors for the kingdom, not even just hanging out in church. I want to see guys who are fired up about taking new ground for the King. And we can't do that if we're passive, if we're pointing fingers all the time at somebody else who's responsible. We've got to take responsibility personally for our own lives, for our marriages, for our families, and we've got to step up and lead and live out our Christian faith in a way that honors God and pleases Him. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, follow me as I follow the example of Christ. So I would hope that that would be every man's prayer, that he could look back to his family, his kids, generations behind him and say, I'm going to do my best to follow Christ so you can watch my example and follow me.
Amen to all of that. And our guest has been Mike Young, talking on A Man's Worldview. Mike, so great to have you on our program today.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you.
For more info on our program, you can go to renewination.org or email me at radio@renewination.org. I'm your host, Ezra Beyer. Thanks for listening.